This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard. A study of HIV transmission here in Melbourne has revealed that younger gay men appear more willing to take sexual risks and so become infected with the virus earlier compared with older men who have sex with men. The under 35s, according to this study, are more likely to have never been tested for HIV and more likely not to know the HIV status of their partners. And they're also being a bit sloppy with condom use as well. Joining me on the line is one of the researchers who worked on this from the Burnet Institute, Carol Al-Hayek. Good morning, Carol.
Hi there, Doug.
So, first of all, tell me a bit about the study itself. Who did you recruit for this?
Well, it wasn't a recruitment-based study. It was largely based on HIV surveillance data, which is collected through the government.
All right.
Australia. And this data was collected for over a decade. And what we found was that the age of gay men being diagnosed with HIV is getting younger. So in 2008, for the first time, we saw the median age of men who have sex with men drop to 35 years from 39 years, whereas in the years prior, around 35% of gay men diagnosed were under 35, and now around 50% are under 35.
Well, that's quite a change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this is something that has been spoken about anecdotally for quite some time. A lot of people sort of working in the field have said they thought this was happening, but is this the time we've actually got stats to back that up?
That's right. So we first saw it in 2008, and the important thing with surveillance data is that you need to track it for a little bit of time to see whether it's a blip in the data or whether a trend is emerging.
Mm-hmm.
And because that trend has continued throughout 2009, we thought it was time to publish something.
Yes, indeed. So this indeed should inform the kind of campaigns that have been run, because in the past we've heard from people like the VAC, for example, the median age of the people has been relatively middle-aged, and therefore campaigns have been aimed there. Do you think we've taken our eye off the ball a bit here?
Well, these results suggest that health promotion and HIV prevention messages now need to be targeted to a new generation. I don't think they dropped the ball at all, because the stats were that, you know, the age was creeping up.
We didn't have the information, in other words.
Yeah, yeah. So organisations like the Victorian AIDS Council have, you know, jumped on this straight away and included messages targeted at younger men, you know, into their campaigns almost immediately.
Okay, so what kind of thing is driving this rise, do we know?
Well, we know from behavioural studies that young gay men are self-reporting engaging in unprotected sex with multiple partners. This isn't different from older gay men, but younger gay men tend not to have the discussions around HIV status.
Mm-hmm.
So they might enter into a sexual partnership without discussing their own HIV status or their partner's HIV status. Older gay men seem to be more experienced with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from other Burnet studies that younger gay men are less likely to generally have discussions about HIV and STIs with their peers, and they're less likely to test regularly. So if you don't know your own status, then you may be more likely to transmit HIV if you have it.
Yeah, so they're making a lot of assumptions, you know, which are not warranted. They're not based on any kind of fact. They're assuming they're okay, and they're assuming their partner's okay, which is not safe to do, of course.
Of course, yeah.
What about condom use? There was part of the report, I think, said that their condom use tended to be intermittent with both regular and casual partners.
That's true. There are regular behavioural surveys that are done among the gay community in Melbourne, Sydney and Queensland. And in Melbourne, there was some data to suggest that our irregular condom use was increasing.
Mm-hmm.
However, with HIV prevention, condom use is one of a variety of prevention methods that can be used. So it's
but it's the only one we absolutely know that works.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's all very well to talk about negotiating and so on and so forth, but
Aren't there a lot of old wives' tales also around this about, like, you can't catch HIV if you're the top, for example, which a lot of people seem to believe?
You're right. Condom use is the most effective protection against HIV.
Now, it seems like we're not alone in this. This is not just happening here in Melbourne or here in Australia. I saw there was a study in the British Medical Journal, mm-hmm. which has also reported an increase in unsafe sex among younger gay men.
Yeah, and in the US as well. So this trend has, you know, we have seen it in other parts of the world earlier than in Victoria.
Yeah. Now, there's been some controversy in the US recently in New York, where they've brought out a new anti-HIV ad, you know, a safe sex mm-hmm. ad, which has been very, very hard-hitting and has talked about, it's called "There's Not, It's Not Just HIV," and has talked about all the other things that can follow from getting HIV, that people are more susceptible to anal cancers and various other things.
That's right, yeah.
But they've been heavily criticised for doing that because some people reckon it stigmatises people who are already infected. How then, if we're not going to sort of tell the truth about some of the things that can flow on from becoming HIV infected, do we break this, what seems to be this growing complacency?
Well, I do agree that there is a growing, well, maybe not a complacency as such, but perhaps with the introduction of treatment, new generations of gay men are less concerned about the implications of HIV, as you said, because they're not aware of the seriousness of the conditions that HIV can lead to. Hmm. But this, you know, in my role, for example, my role is to monitor the trends and feed this information back to organisations who work closely with the community to work on appropriate messages for people at risk. So it's probably not something that I can comment on.
But do you see, in your role in monitoring these stats, have you any way of knowing if, for example, a particular campaign has had an impact on the stats or not? Because we're hearing things like scare campaigns don't work.
Right.
Have you seen that in the stats that you've studied?
Well, a lot of hard work has been done in the sector with the support of the government by organisations that you mentioned, like the Victorian AIDS Council and people living with HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And they have changed some of their campaigns to include social network media, for example, that try to reach younger groups like Facebook and YouTube
mm-hmm.
for their latest campaigns and trying to make things more mainstream.
Mm.
We can't tell if it has a direct impact, like we can't tell that it's the cause for increased testing and all that kind of thing. But in 2010 so far, we have seen increased testing in sexual health centres and gay men's health centres around Melbourne. And we are seeing more early detection of HIV.
Yeah, this was another thing.
Good news.
Yeah, that was another thing I was going to ask you. That could it be that at least part of this apparent rise in young men being infected is not actually a rise in that? It's a rise in the amount of testing and detection.
It's possible through. It is possible. Yes, that there is an increase in testing. The difference is that older gay men test more frequently. Younger gay men are finding they're positive on their first test.
Mm-hmm. How often should people test?
Well, the guidelines in Victoria are for any man who has sex with other men should test at least twice a year.
At least. That seems a bit low in some respects to me, but I'm not an expert.
Well, I mean, it's important for people to talk to their GPs about it because they can assess their risk in terms of if they talk openly to their GP about the kind of behaviours, their sexual behaviours and so on, number of partners, etc.
Hmm.
You know, it's sort of like a case-by-case basis.
Yep.
Some people are, you know, practice more safer sex than others, etc.
Yeah. There is one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and I don't know if it comes within your area, so to speak, but I'm seeing a lot of stuff coming out of the United States, for example, saying that one of the things that's helping to fuel the rise, not just in HIV, but in other STIs, is that people are not using condoms for oral sex. They're thinking that oral sex is safer somehow.
Mm.
Are you aware of if that's the case or not?
Well, I know in Australia there have been reports of increase in oral gonorrhea. So, yeah, so it isn't safer in terms of, you know, other STIs.
Mm, but we don't know about HIV on that front. We don't at this point. Okay, well, thanks for that, Carol. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Doug.
We look forward to another report in due course. And, you know, we're glad to know that you've got your eye on the ball.
Thank you.
All right. That was Carol Al-Hayek there from the Burnet Institute. So it seems that there is an increase in HIV among younger gay men, that people are, that you're not testing as often as you should, that you're not using condoms as much as you should. And as I say, there's anecdotal evidence coming out of the States and elsewhere that part of the reason might be that you're not using condoms for oral sex and thinking that that is safer. Now, the evidence would seem to indicate that it might be safer, but it's still not safe. Obviously, there's lots of argument going to be going around this. As I say, in New York, they've introduced a very hard-hitting new campaign, which has upset a lot of HIV-positive people, saying it stigmatizes them. Remains to be seen whether we need anything similar here and whether it would work here.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.